The following broadcast is brought to you by Sons of God International and Freedom Fellowship Church. Hello, and welcome to the prophetic voice of our time, where we focus on the voice of prophecy, which is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our host, Christina Sasso, is a senior pastor at Freedom Fellowship Church. Let's hear what she has to say to the body of Christ.
God bless you for tuning in. Hello. This is Christina Sasso of Freedom Fellowship Church and Sons of God Ministries International, and you're listening to the prophetic voice of our time. Great news! Joshua just launched the prophetic voice of our time on YouTube. We will be posting revelation that we receive from God, prophetic instruction to help you out. So help us to spread the good news, will you? You can like us, leave a comment, and subscribe to the prophetic voice of our time on YouTube. So we are on the implementation season. I don't know about you, but I feel like I don't have enough time in the day to listen and implement God's ways of doing things here on earth, like right now. I had been training our Freedom Fellowship Church team in the Philippines via live stream and also here in San Antonio, Texas, for the implementation. God is giving us a lot of revelation. God is giving us instruction and is encouraging us, as well as showing us what we need to get rid of. Attitude, mindset. You know, God is faithful and He is just so awesome. He is so kind. And the Holy Spirit is releasing instruction after instruction, and we are catching up and share those instructions and prophecies with you so that you cannot offer excuse or you cannot blame somebody or me why you're not a part of this great move of God. Why are you not in the front lines? Okay? We are doing our best and we are sending out the message every available means. And you know that we use this broadcast just to reach out to you and to share with you the prophetic voice, the prophecies of our time in which front and center is our Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the things that you and I need to understand is in this day and in this great move of God, which also includes the transfer of wealth and transfer of influence, is a complete reliance and submission to the Holy Spirit. We cannot rely on our own. We need to forsake all of our abilities because we've never been this way before. Even if God has called you that you're going to be a developer, a producer, and even though you already have experience to that, you have to unlearn things and learn God's ways of doing things. And that is a challenge, but at the same time, it's very exciting because God is so ever patient with us. And even if we make mistake, if we don't mean to really disobey Him and get back on our feet, He will restore us and He still loves us, okay? But just keep in mind, I wanted to caution each and every one of you, my dear brothers and sisters. If you continue to insist in doing your way in your own business or in your family and you're not open, or ministry, and you're not open to the discipline of the Lord, it will cause delays in the manifestation of your inheritance, and it will stop you from going higher and deeper in the ministry with the things of God, okay? So if you're very good on what you do and you receive that you're part of the transfer of wealth, that there's a promotion coming your way, do not apply the useful thing. Go before the Lord in every decision and choices you make, and the Holy Spirit will guide you every step of the way, okay? Let us try to avoid delays. All of us, not just a few, but all of us are given the same mandate, the Great Commission. All of us have inheritance in Christ Jesus, because once we're born again, we were made joint heirs with God. And remember, the five offices are going to go away, okay? Once the body of Christ matures, we don't need them. So we will be sent, the matured ones will be sent all over the world to teach God's ways of doing things and to preach the message of salvation, meaning Jesus Christ crucified and his resurrection. Okay, so it is important for us to make the necessary correction, okay? It is not too late for you, and everybody has this chance, okay? God set it up that he does not play favorites, okay? And he's very patient, and he loves all of us. So everybody can be anointed, everybody can be prosperous, everybody can live heaven on earth here. On earth, okay? Yeah, we have challenges, but we are already victorious because of our Christ Jesus. But our challenges and our afflictions do not compare about the rewards that is set before us that will start manifesting here on earth. Everybody can, every born-again believer can, but not everybody will. That is the word will. You have to determine in your heart that you trust God, that you will obey his commands because you love him, okay? And the last broadcast, I teach about tithes and offering, in which that was the first time on the radio. But God explained to me and make it clear to me that it is important because of the times that we're in. I obeyed and I quoted you 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 11. I'm going to emphasize again that giving to the Lord our tithes and offerings is always a heart issue. Tithing and offerings to God is giving honor to him. We also offer our gratitude, our thanksgiving for what Jesus have done and continue to plan and do for us, that we became a family of God, okay? Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your baths will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. When we give our tithes and offerings to the Lord, it's because of who he is. We should not feel obligated. It should not be that we want God to bless us. We are already blessed because we belong to him. So when we offer our tithes and offerings, it's because we love him and because he's God. Praise and worship and giving our tithes and offerings should be the most important part of that day. Yes, I consider it, in my opinion, it is a failure of many spiritual leaders. They did not teach God's people properly about tithes and offerings. It's always about give and it shall be given to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That is true. But remember, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. I always tell our congregation, remember, this is a heart issue, and if you give your tithes and offerings to Freedom Fellowship Church under compulsion or emotional giving or because you feel guilty, I will receive them and pay our bills. But when it comes to God, he loves a cheerful giver. And you know what? He does not change. He still loves a cheerful giving. Exodus chapter 25, verse 2. Tell the Israelites to bring me an offering. You are to receive the offering for me from each man whose heart prompts him to give. Exodus chapter 35, verse 5. From what you have, take an offering for the Lord. Everyone who is willing is to bring to the Lord an offering of gold, silver, and bronze. Everyone who is what? Willing. And remember, Abel and Cain in the book of Genesis both gave offering to the Lord. Okay? Remember, tithing to the Lord and offering sacrifices or giving to the Lord is a heart issue. Okay? Genesis chapter 4, verses 3 through 7. Let me read from New Living Translation. When it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Abel also brought a gift, the best portions of the firstborn lambs from his flock. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but he did not accept Cain's gift. This made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected. This was also in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. Verse 6 and 7. "Why are you so angry?" the Lord asked Cain. "Why do you look so dejected? You will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you. But you must subdue it and be its master. It is a heart issue." Okay. Abel selected the best and perfect animal for his offering to God, and God was pleased. Cain, who was a farmer, also gave, probably without second thought, probably not thinking about it, just gave an obligatory offering from his harvest, and God was not pleased. We give our offering to God for who He is. He is a holy God. He is a great God. Okay? So throughout the Bible, when God is pleased with your offerings, remember, this is not about the amount, but issues of the heart. Remember the widow's mite. So we have to ask question, why are you giving to the Lord? Or why are you not giving to the Lord? Okay? At this ministry, nobody can say that Joshua and I or the ministry team are pressuring you or making you feel guilty. We do not take a formal offering, but we give everybody an opportunity to give, okay? Just like on this radio. And just like I said, even if you give reluctantly, we will accept it to pay our bills. But when it comes to your offerings being acceptable to God, that is a heart issue, and God searches the heart. It is a motivation issue, okay? All over the Bible, for example, when a king offered prayer and sacrifices to God, like King Solomon, God cannot help himself. He always show up and express how delighted he is of your offering. He asked Solomon in a dream, "What do you want from me? And I will give it to you," because God received these offerings of Solomon and the nation of Israel. And of course, we know the story. Solomon asked for wisdom so that he can govern God's people. And God was pleased that he didn't ask for the destruction or death of his enemies. He didn't ask for riches. So he was so pleased that he gave him wisdom and added all of those things that he didn't ask for. You can never outgive God, but it is a heart issue, okay? So when Solomon woke up from this dream, what did he do? This must be our practice too. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 15, NIV. "Then Solomon awoke, and he realized it had been a dream. He returned to Jerusalem, stood before the ark of the Lord's covenant, and sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. Then he gave a feast for all his court." When you give an offering, when you start celebrating and thanking God, it means to say you believe His promise. You believe and you know who He is, that He is God. Okay? This is a characteristic of all those leaders who really were successful in the Bible. It's because they recognize who God is and they were careful in their offerings. Okay? 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 1 through 14. "When all the work Solomon had done for the temple of the Lord was finished, he brought in the things his father David had dedicated, the silver and gold and all of the furnishings, and he placed them in the treasures of God's temple. Solomon followed the instruction of King David, his father. Then Solomon summoned to Jerusalem the elders of Israel, all the heads of the tribes and the chiefs of the Israelites' families, to bring the Ark of the Lord's Covenant from Zion, the city of David." Down to verse 5. "And they brought up the Ark and the tent of meeting, and all the sacred furnishings in it. The priests, who were Levites, carried them up. And King Solomon and the entire assembly of Israel that had gathered about him were before the Ark, sacrificing so many sheep that they cannot be recorded or counted. The priests then brought the Ark of the Lord's Covenant to its place in the inner sanctuary of the temple, the most holy place, and put it beneath the wings of the cherubim. down to verse 12 through 14. All the Levites who were musicians, Asaph, Heman, Jeduthun, and their sons and relatives stood on the east side of the altar, dressed in fine linen and playing cymbals, harps, and lyres. They were accompanied by 120 priests sounding the trumpets. The trumpeters and singers joined in unison as with one voice to give praise and thanks to the Lord. Accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments, they raised their voices in praise to the Lord and sang, "He is good. His love endures forever." Then the temple of the Lord was filled with a cloud, and the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the temple of God. Because they put God first, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. I have experienced the glory of the Lord numerous times in our meetings and our crusades and conferences, that people were on the floor, cannot stand, and I cannot hardly stand on the pulpit. I have to hold on, or sometimes I ask the Lord, no more, no more anointing, because if I fall, I will not be able to get up. The feeling is so awesome. It is glorious. Those occasions you'll never forget, where the glory of God took over. And I'll share one event with you that is so special because of many things that God was pleased. We held the first Empower Leader, Empower Nation Ministers Conference in the southern part of the Philippines that is predominantly controlled by Muslims in General Santos in May of 2007. We found a venue that could only seat comfortably 125 to 150 people, that is air-conditioned, and they're going to serve us two meals. And the property is only a few yards away from the hotel where we were staying. Hundreds of pastors from remote villages registered, and they wanted to come. We did not have enough money to sponsor them, to house them, to feed them. And the conference is a 3 days, full-day conference, which we have to pay for two catered meals, okay? They came anyway. Some traveled for days, and they stayed in one local church, a small building, and slept on the floor, packed like sardines, sharing one or two bathrooms. So when I found out that they're willing to come anyway, and some said that, even if we don't have to sleep, as long as we have a place, and said, we don't mind, we just want to attend. So I cannot help myself. So the money that is meant to pay for the conference, I use some of those funds to at least buy them toiletries, a mat for them to sleep, and gave the pastor of that church some money for their meals. I cannot turn these pastors away. They were so hungry to learn about God. All they know is what they preach salvation. They don't operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Some just got born again after a few weeks and they have to take the pastoral place because nobody else is available. Nobody wants to go to their places because it's remote and they are very poor. So we packed them in this venue, and about 20 of them, it's either they were sitting on the floor or they're standing, and they remained standing throughout the 3 days conference, okay? Because of their hunger and because of our seed, God moved in those 3 days. They told me afterwards they never felt the love of God before. They never seen anything like it before, close and personal. God touched them all. And there was one youth pastor that was included in the list, but still he had to pay for his bus fare to attend the conference. So he was praying to the Lord, and the Lord told him to sell his bike. Why is this a big leap of faith? This young man ministers to the children in different villages, praying for them, teaching them, and that his primary means of transportation, or else he had to walk 4 miles just to get access to a village. So he sold his bike, paid for his bus fare, and On the last day, the Lord prompted him to give the rest of his money from selling his bike to the offering basket. What they didn't know, except the team, that we have this financial need that we need to pay. All of our credit cards were maxed out. All of our cash, except for an emergency to get back home, we already spent. But the Lord moved so mightily in those 3 days' events. Pastors were crying. They were encouraged. They were inspired. They are so excited that God can really use them in the supernatural without anyone laying hands on them. They start speaking in other tongues and they start seeing visions. It's just amazing. Many healings took place and financial breakthrough. On the last day, some people came from out of town. They were not able to make the meeting. They just want to see what is going on. Okay? A spirit of giving came upon them all. Somebody gave me a gold ring. She had been praying and believing God to buy another gas station in her town. And she told the Lord and said, I spend all my money, Lord, is sponsoring other people, and I don't have any more gift to Pastor Chris. And the Holy Spirit said, give her your ring. Like, I didn't ask God for any ring, but she obeyed. So I got this ring and the Lord told me, wear it. Somebody gave me a long pearl necklace. Somebody gave me some flowers. And those people who did not attend the conference but went there anyway, I prayed for them. Some of them, I just shook their hands because they had to leave. They gave money to the offering. And lo and behold, we were able to pay for the conference in full. And the pastors were supposed to go back to their towns and villages that Saturday to hold their Sunday services. But about 20 pastors cannot sleep and they stayed behind because they want more of God. They want to continue to experience His presence. So they skipped their Sunday services and they attended the Sunday service where I was ministering. And they found a venue that can accommodate, I think, 150 to 200 people. Okay. And the place was packed. When I took the podium, I can hardly stand up. Our videographer kept on getting slain. Half of the congregation were already on the floor, including these 20 pastors who stayed behind. The glory of the Lord fell. And instead of the usual Sunday services, I started prophesying about the coming move of God in that region. Clouds descended on the place. My voice changed into very powerful. I was holding on the podium, and everybody got slain. Either they're crying or laughing, but they all hit the floor. The young pastor who sold his bike ministered to the children that Sunday. He was not one of the 20. And all the children got slain. They started speaking in tongues. So they asked him to minister again that afternoon to lay hands on the sick. And the sick were healed. So other towns and villages wanted him to come and minister to them. And now the problem is he didn't have any bike. So somebody bought him a new bike. This is what is happening. You cannot wait for a certain condition before you move. As soon as you hear the voice of God, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. It means to say, you obey that voice. You make that voice a priority for you to listen and to obey promptly. Time is of the essence. And what happened in that day, it changed my lives. And every time that the people of God search Him out, they're hungry for Him, God always delivers. In spite of me, in spite of our team, He always deliver. He'll never fail. And this is one thing that I need to leave with you. Listen to the voice of God. Implement His ways of doing things. Unlearn things. And be willing to study under the school of the Holy Spirit. And God will never fail you. He is faithful. So God bless you for tuning in. Until next time. Do not forget, search out the prophetic voice of our time on YouTube so that we can always share with you prophetic instructions, revelations, and prophecies that you need to know. God bless you for tuning in. Until next time.
Thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to the prophetic voice of our time. We really hope you were blessed by today's episode. And if you were, we want to hear from you. You can call us at 210-695-1630. Or you can email us at sogmi@outlook.com. That's sogmi@outlook.com. And we really encourage you to visit our website, sogmi.org. That is sogmi.org. That's where you can listen to previous episodes of this podcast and even support this broadcast. We're supported by listeners just like you. So if you want to support this ministry, you can go to sogmi.org and hit the donate button. You can also send a check to P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023. Again, that is P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023.